And welcome to our time to be together this morning and our time to listen to the Word of God. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7 this morning, but also kind of working our way through some of the stories of Christmas as we move into the Advent season. Before we begin that, though, today is the first Sunday of Advent, and Isaiah, the amazing prophet, as he foretells the coming of Jesus Christ, writes these words in Isaiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting father, and a prince of peace. I hope that he is that to you today. He's been each and every one of those things in so many ways to me. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I've always enjoyed the zeal of God, haven't you? All right, I want to say it one more time. I've always enjoyed the zeal of God, haven't you? The zeal of God sometimes can put us in some difficult situations and some hard times that we have to walk through. But the zeal of the Lord accomplishes all of the good things in life that matters. And so today, as we light the first candle of Advent, we're remembering Jesus from the very beginning, that it was a part of God's design that he would come and be the very, very foundation of God's time, of what we call God's Kairos time. It's been a while since I've mentioned this to you, but we see two different words for time all through the New Testament. One is Chronos time, and that's the time that we know and we're used to. That's the time that goes around the clock. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 10 years a decade, 10 decades a century. I'll stop there, all right? But that's the only thing that we know, and it's the kind of time that if we're not careful, kind of puts us to sleep. You ever had time kind of put you to sleep? You get up in the morning and you take a shower and you go to work and you do the things you have to do and you eat lunch and you do the, and then you eat dinner and then you come home and watch a little TV and then you get up the next day and you do the same thing. And if you're not careful, Chronos time can kind of lull us to sleep. But the scripture tells us that we have to live in Chronos time, and that there are blessings and wonderful things about Chronos time, but there is also God's time, and that is his Kairos time. And we get to live in that all of the time also. And the Kairos time of God is God's time, God's eternal time. How many of you know you're living eternally today? That's three or four of you. All right. I'm kidding, I know, we're a little sleepy today, but we live in God's eternal time. We don't just live in the 24-hour-a-day period that we come to recognize as the time that we have each day, but we live in the eternal time of God, and that eternal time of God always has been, it is today, and always will be. And so as we light this candle today, we often call it the candle of prophecy. But it's to remind us again that God is out there ahead of us. He is out there moving, and he is out there working, and he is doing the things that only he can do. And it is important that we always remember that while we live each and every day, and it is a blessing to live in Kairos time, that more importantly, we live in the Kairos time of God. So let's light the first one here, if I can get this to, there we go. All right. We light the candle of prophecy today. So as we think about Kairos time, let's move to Matthew chapter 7 this morning, a parable and a story that is familiar to many, many people. It is the story of the two men, one of them who built foolishly and one who built wisely. The man who built wisely built on solid ground, and the one who built foolishly built upon the sand. And today's parable, right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, reminds us that we are to build our lives on this foundation of Jesus Christ. So I have a quick word picture for you this morning as we think about foundations. Foundations matter, don't they? I'm sure inside of that house there was some beautiful furniture. I'm sure that somebody had decorated it all up. I'm sure that that they had done the very, very best they could to make the outside look good. It might have been painted. The roof might have been nice. But when the foundation is not strong, what happens to the house? Well, let's read about that this morning from Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Wow. Well, we just saw the crash there. We just saw what happens. The utter destruction of a house that for the most part probably had been well taken care of by the people who lived inside of it. And the spiritual lesson for us this morning as we go through is very clear to see. A lot of times we put a lot of energy and effort, don't we, into the cosmetic part of our lives, how we look, how we appear, what people think of us, and we kind of dress ourselves up. And if you're here today and you're a female, you put a little makeup on every morning. If you're a guy like me, you put hair coloring in your hair so people won't know how old you are. We do lots of things to kind of dress up the outside of our lives. We do the very, very best we can to try to make sure that we have enough money to make ends meet. We put a lot of time and we put a lot of effort into making our houses, our lives, the very, very best they can. The scripture just wants to remind us this morning, particularly as we move into this season of Advent, where we focus on Jesus and all of the things that he has done in our lives, that the foundation is everything, isn't it? You can decorate your house. You can paint your house. You can add additions to your house. But the most important thing is the foundation. It's everything. And the foundation of Jesus Christ in our lives is everything for us. And the scripture says we can build on a weak foundation. That means we can build on ourselves. We can build on what we think we need to do and how we need to act and what is important to us. And that's what most of the people in the world do. That's the mantra of the world today is, I know what's good for me, and I'm going to do what's good for me. And so that's the way that we live. And the foundation, though, is weak. And so what happens when the storms come and the winds come and the rains come? Well, the scripture says they will come. How many of you have had wind and storm in your life? How many of you are in the middle of it right now? Well, when the wind and the storms come, the scripture says that when you build your life on a foundation that is other than Jesus Christ, then what happens is it begins to crumble, and then all of the things that you've so carefully built up can come crashing down. I always think about pickup sticks whenever you do this review. Or what's that Jenga? Jenga? You ever done Jenga, you know, and you put this big tower up, and then one by one you pull out the little pegs, and the last one, the person that pulls the peg out and it falls down, is the loser of the game? Well, the foundation is everything, and if we build it on something that is weak, we are waiting for our life to come crashing down. But we can build on a lasting foundation. We can build on a foundation of Jesus Christ. The message of his gospel, that we can be forgiven of all of the sins of our lives. And as we are forgiven of the sins of our lives, that we can begin anew, and that his Holy Spirit can come in, and that he can teach us through his word a life that will be built on a rock, a strong foundation. And so the living out of this, as I have discovered in my own life, is done through what I call kairos moments, eternal moments. The recognition, sometimes each and every day, but often in our lives, as God just breaks into our lives, that truly if we'll look for God and live those kairos moments, those eternal moments, that God will build a strong foundation in our lives. And I've discovered you never know when they're going to show up. Sometimes kairos moments can come just in the middle of the day when you're minding your own business, and all of a sudden God will just open eternity to you, and he'll just show you that you're not living your life just for yourself or just for this world, but indeed you're living for something that is much greater than yourself. So today I want to share with you just the life of some familiar people to you if you've been around the church. If you've not been around the church, I want to introduce you to some of the people of Christmas that you've probably heard about, and talk to you again about how marvelous it is to know and understand the kairos, the eternal moments of God. My mind went to Mary this week. Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Venerated in some ways. Some people even almost making her a divine person. But for us, we just recognize that she was someone who was obedient. What you may not know today, though, is Mary was probably somewhere between 12 and 16 years old when the angel of the Lord came to her and said, "You are going to be the mother of my son." Now, I want you to think about what that must have meant. I want you to go back and think about when you were 12 years old or 14 years old or 15 years old. You still got pimples on your face, and I don't know what the big thing was back in those days, but I want you, when I was 14 or 15 years old, I just tried to get through school every day. Yeah, I was kind of skinny, and sometimes, people would pick on me, and from the good side, I had all kinds of hair back then, and I had it all feathered, and it just looked, oh man, I looked like Tony Orlando, That's going to date me again. Wow, see, don't you? All right, I'm probably stretching it a little bit on that, but at least my hair looked like Tony Orlando. But I want you to think about being 13, 14, 15 years of age. And Mary is just trying to grow up. And of course, in those days, you grew up a lot quicker than you did today. Already the things of womanhood were coming upon her. So much so that at this young age, she was engaged to be married. And in just a short time, she was going to take her place in society as a wife, and eventually a mother, and as a person who was going to uphold all of the things that were a part of the Jewish society in those days. And yet, on this one day, God broke into her life with an eternal moment. And came and said to her, "Mary, you have been chosen. You are most favored of God. You're going to get pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And you are going to give birth to my son, who will be the savior of many." Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know that at that particular time when I'm 12, 13, 14 years old, I would have felt like I was really favored at all. I think I would have said, "Really? You know how old I am? Do you realize I'm just a young woman from an obscure village out here in the middle of nowhere, and you want me, Lord, to undertake this amazing and great task? I have to think that it might have run through her mind what it was going to be like when she told her parents, "Mom and Dad, I'm going to have a baby." What? Don't worry. The Holy Spirit is the Father. That's not lost on a few of you, okay? I think sometimes here in our society, we might have a floor at the hospital that we might have taken Mary to if she had said something like that. But this is the amazing thing about Kairos moments. This is the amazing thing about trusting God and recognizing eternal time. Mary at 12, 13, 14, 15, however old she was so strong in her knowledge of God and her relationship with Him that as she heard this and as she worked through all of the ramifications, she looked at this messenger who came to her and said, "You do with me what you want. I am the Lord's servant. Be it done to me. Let it be done to me as you would have it done, God. My life belongs to you." And the rest is history. It doesn't mean that everything was easy for Mary for the rest of her life. But what I can tell you is that for the rest of her life, she bore eternal fruit. She bore the Kairos of God. She lived in the knowledge of the Kairos of God. And she had to get up every day and live the Kronos life. And sometimes that Kronos life was very challenging, particularly as she watched her son die on the cross. But she lived in the moments of God. She knew what it meant to live in eternity. I think about Joseph, who was probably struggling with being betrayed. I again wonder what that conversation must have been like when Mary came and told him she was pregnant. And as all of us would know, he would know whether or not it was his or not. And he knew that it was not. And yet he had character enough in his life that he had decided to put her away, the scripture says, privately, to not embarrass her, to not open her up to ridicule, sometimes even to the death penalty in some places in that society. And here is this man struggling with being betrayed, struggling with all of the things that we would deal with in this clockwork Kronos time that all of us have to live in. But he, like his wife, like Mary, he was strong in knowing God. And so when a messenger came to him, an angel of the Lord came to him and told him what was going on and that he should just envelop Mary and take her as his wife. I love what the scripture says here. He got up early the next morning and he immediately went and took her as his wife. Wow. That's Kronos, that's Kairos living, that's eternal living, that's recognizing that the strength of your life is not just in all of the things that happen to you, but the strength of your life is your ability to live eternally in the power and the glory of God. I thought a little bit about the innkeeper. We don't know much about the innkeeper, so can I pick on the innkeeper today? We pick on the scribes and the Pharisees, so poor innkeeper. I'm going to pick on the innkeeper a little bit today, all right? The innkeeper was just doing his job, and he was a very busy guy, and he didn't have enough room. And here came this pregnant woman and this man who were in need of help, and he was probably tired at the end of the day and didn't know what to do and just sent these two off in to a stable that he had out back. As I read this story, I wonder if he missed his Kairos moment. I don't know. We never hear any more about him. But what a horrible thing it is in our lives to be so unhooked from the eternalness of God that we just get to living our Kronos life day after day after day after day. And God is always trying to break into our lives. He's always trying to talk to us here and show us this here. And maybe even give us one of those amazing eternal moments that only He can give to us. And sometimes we miss the very best that God has because our minds are always on other things. oh, the Magi, the wise men, we call them. Some people call them the kings from the east. They knew everything that was to be known in that day and time. And they could have just shrunk back and said, you know what, I know this and I know that, and I've got all this wisdom and I have all of this knowledge. And I'm sure there were times when they struggled with their pride and their intellect. But down deep in their souls, the scripture tells us that they were strong in knowing God. And as Mary and Joseph went back to their home, and as they began to raise the baby Jesus, these wise men showed up one day. And as they came in, wise men, smart men, rich men, came and knelt before the baby Jesus. They did that because they were strong in knowing God, and because of that, they were able to bear the fruit of God and to live eternally in the moment that God had given them. Oh, I think my favorite, though, is the shepherds. I'm so thankful that God didn't just come to the rich and powerful, but he came to just plain people like you and me. I'm sure that the shepherds, again, were all caught up in their life and doing their job and doing the things that all of us do each and every day. And the scripture even says that as the hosts of heaven appeared to them on that evening, and as the message of the blessing of the Christ child was given to these men as they were shepherding out in a field in the middle of the night, we're told that they were afraid and they were terrified. But instead of that being the dominating thing in their life, because they were somehow strong in knowing God, they moved beyond their fear and they went to see the baby Jesus. And their lives in that Kairos moment were changed so powerfully that it says they went back and they began to tell everybody about what it is that they had seen. I know for me today that all that I am is because of the foundation that God built in my life during the Kairos times of my life. I'm thankful for my Chronos life. I'm thankful that God gives me 24 hours each and every day to enjoy my life, enjoy the job that I do, enjoy my wife, enjoy my daughter now from afar, enjoy all of the friends and the ministry and just the things that God gives me each and every day. I'm so thankful for my Chronos life. I cherish it each and every day. But I really try every day of my life to live the Kairos moments of God. To rise each and every morning and say, God, show me your life, show me your time, show me your moments. And I have to tell you that periodically he breaks in and does amazing things in my life. I could share with you several things today. I'll just share with you one that he let me be a part of. Simply because he loves me. And I thought back again to my trip to Brazil, and it was my second time to go to the Edson Apostles Church in Rio de Janeiro, and my friend Amadeo Nunes, who's built a great church there, not him, but he's led and built an amazing church right there in the hotbed of South America, where God is moving in so many strong and powerful ways. And we were there helping him build Sunday school classrooms, but I could tell there was something wrong. He was just down, and he was hurting. And I went and said, hey, Amadeo, what is? Of course, I had to do it through translation and all of that. And neither one of us spoke each other's language, but our hearts were joined together. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, my wife and I have just tried and tried and tried and tried, and we've not been able to have a child. And I said, wow. That happened to Gail and I for a long, long, long time. Many of you have heard my story about that and how God blessed us with our daughter. And I said, Amadeo, the Lord just spoke to me. You ever had the Lord speak to you? I think we should take you before the church, and I want to anoint you, and I'll lay my hands on you, and just want to pray for you. And so we brought him down, and he and his wife knelt before the Lord with all the faith that they could muster and all the faith that I could muster. I just laid my hands on the two of them and prayed that whatever was going on would be fixed, or whatever was happening would be changed, and that God would allow them to have a child. 9 months to the day. You think I'm kidding, don't you? 9 months to the day. They had enough faith. They went home that afternoon and got to work. All right? 9 months to the day. Some of you are going, oh, Pastor, you can't say that. Well, yes, I can. What a beautiful and a wonderful thing it was. 9 months to the day, little Leticia Nunez came into the world. That's not about me. It isn't. God just let me be a part of eternity. He just let me be a part of a moment where he decided to do something, and just by his grace and his mercy and his love, he just tapped me on the shoulder and said, I want you to be a part of it. And I got to be a part of it. And you know, we got to have a double blessing because they had a boy right after that. Isn't it amazing the goodness of God and the things that he does? All that I am today is because of the foundation that God built in my life during the eternal moments of my life. And I have learned that when I get up every day to live my Chronos life, which I cherish and love and I am thankful for, that I'm also living an eternal life that God wants to break in whenever he decides to and show me his power and his glory and his grace. And I've come to realize in my life that there were probably a few times when I missed some things that God wanted me to see. I didn't say yes when he wanted me to say yes, or I didn't listen when he had something to say to me. The great thing is how many of you know that grace covers that? Aren't you thankful for that? You missed something that maybe God had for you or wanted you to do, and just because you missed it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you anymore. There are other moments, there are other things that God can do in you and for you. And so, as I close today, just a few things. Take advantage of the Kairos moments of life. Look for God. Look for God every single day. Look for him in the normal moments of life. Look for him in ways that he's doing things that you're just going to go, wow, that was God. That was God. Listen to God. Learn to cultivate through reading the Word, spending time with him. Learn what it means each and every day of your life to hear from God. And then when God speaks to you, do what he says. Just obey him. Do what God asks you to do, whether it's through his Word or through the work of his Holy Spirit. Just obey God. Do what he says, and you will find and live the eternal moments of God. A story to close with this morning, one that I've shared, I think, a year or two back, but I give it to you today to hopefully teach the word from this parable of living and building your life on the strong foundation of God through Christ. Ruth went to her mailbox, and there was one letter. And she picked it up and looked at it before opening it. And then she looked at the envelope again. And there was no stamp, no postmark, only her name and address. And she finally read the letter. Dear Ruth, I'm going to be in your neighborhood Saturday afternoon, and I'd like to stop by for a visit. Love always, Jesus. Well, that'd shake you up, wouldn't it? I mean, I might be really excited and happy, but hopefully I wouldn't have to say, boy, I better clean up a couple of things here. But here he is. He's going to come and visit her. And so her hands were shaking as she placed the letter on the table. Why would the Lord want to visit me? I'm nobody special. I don't have anything to offer. And with that thought, Ruth remembered her empty kitchen cabinets. Oh, my goodness. I really don't have anything to offer. I'll have to run down to the store and buy something for dinner. Well, she reached for her purse and counted out its contents. $5.40. This must have been a long time ago. So, well, I think I can get some bread and cold cuts at least. And so she threw on her coat, hurried out the door. A loaf of French bread, a half a pound of sliced turkey, and a carton of milk were picked up at the store, leaving Ruth with a grand total of 12 cents to last her till Monday. Wow. Nonetheless, she felt good as she headed home, her meager offerings tucked under her arms, until she heard the voice. Hey, lady, can you help us, lady? Ruth had been so absorbed in her dinner plans, she hadn't even noticed two figures huddled in the alleyway, a man and a woman, both dressed in little more than rags. He said, "I don't have a job, and my wife and I have been living out on the street, and it's cold, and we're hungry. Is there anything you could do to help us? We'd really appreciate it." Something that many of us have probably experienced many times. Well, Ruth looked at them both. They were dirty and they smelled bad, and frankly, she was certain they could get some kind of work if they really wanted to. "Well, sir, I'd like to help you, but I'm a poor woman myself, and all I have is a few cold cuts, some bread, and I'm having an important guest for dinner tonight, and I was planning on serving that to him." "Yeah, I understand, lady. Thank you." He put his arm around the woman's shoulders, turned, and headed back into the alley. And at that moment, she felt a twinge in her heart. You see, that's what we call kairos. She felt a twinge in her heart. "Sir, wait." The couple turned, and she ran down the alley after them. "Look, why don't you take this food, and I'll figure out something else to serve my guest." She handed the man her grocery bag. "Thank you, lady. Thank you very much." "Yes, thank you." It was the man's wife, and Ruth could see now that she was shivering. "You know, I've got another coat at home here. Why don't you take this one?" And Ruth unbuttoned her jacket and slipped it over the woman's shoulders. And then, smiling, she turned and walked back to the street without her coat and nothing to serve her guest. Thank you again. Thank you so much. Well, Ruth was chilled by the time she reached her front door, and worried too. The Lord was coming to visit, and she didn't have anything to offer him. So she fumbled through her purse for the door key, and as she did, she noticed another envelope in her mailbox. Well, that's odd. The mailman usually doesn't come twice in one day. And so she took the envelope out of the box and opened it. "Dear Ruth, it was so good to see you again. Thank you for the lovely meal, and thank you too for the beautiful coat. Love always, Jesus." The air was still cold, but even without her coat, Ruth no longer noticed. I don't know what it is that God has for you today, tomorrow, the next week, the next month, the next year. I don't know what life has for any of us. All I know is that God is already out there, and he's going to be there tomorrow. And he's going to be there next week, and he's going to be there next month, and he's going to be there next year, and he's going to be there all the way until we go fully into eternal life with him. But we live eternity now. We live eternity today. And God wants to break in and give us these eternal moments in our lives. I just pray that we will always be the people who will listen and know and understand all that God has for us in Jesus.